Hello and welcome to the Simply Wall Street Market Insights. My name is Michael, and this week we're covering part four of our Big Trends series. But before we dive in, here's our quote of the week. Let's go invent tomorrow instead of worrying about what happened yesterday. Steve Jobs. Now let's dive in. This is the fourth edition of our Big Trends series, and we're going to have a look at disruptive technologies. There's a lot to cover in this area, so we'll spread it out over a few weeks, starting today with 1, artificial intelligence, 2, data, and 3, cloud infrastructure. We're also going to highlight some of the lesser well-known companies within these industries for those of you who want to explore each area a bit further. Let's start with artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence has been the hot topic of 2023 and could well be the most disruptive technology of the century so far. The launch of ChatGPT last year showed the world just how powerful large language models have become, and we're still only in the early days. But AI has been around for a while and has been extensively used by many large companies. What has changed is the cost of training models, which is currently falling by around 70% per year. Costs have fallen due to the performance of hardware improving and software becoming more efficient. This resulted in a massive increase in investment and research and development in the last 5 years, which in turn led to better performance. But this won't mean we'll see large language models integrated into everything immediately. The cost of training the model is just the tip of the iceberg. What you don't see here are the massive quote-unquote inference costs looming beneath the water's surface. The inference cost for large language models is the cost incurred every time the model is called upon for an output. But where does this cost come from? Well, consider this. LLMs like ChatGPT require an immense amount of computing power. SemiAnalysis estimates that as of February 2023, OpenAI utilizes upwards of 3,600 NVIDIA HGX A100 servers to serve ChatGPT. These HGX servers each contain 8 A100 GPUs, which come at a cost of around $10,000 per unit. This roughly equates to around $228 million in hardware costs alone to serve ChatGPT. Now, consider the cost of energy required to run and cool these servers, the cost of hosting ChatGPT on the cloud, the labor cost of running and developing an LLM, the hardware cost of upgrading to more efficient hardware, and so on and so forth. You quickly begin to see the picture of just how expensive generative AI currently is to service. SemiAnalysis stated, quote, "Inference costs far exceed training costs when deploying a model at any reasonable scale. In fact, the costs to inference ChatGPT exceed the training costs on a weekly basis." End quote. These costs will inevitably decline over time as hardware improves and the models become more efficient, but we are still a while away from a point where generative AI is a perfect substitute for traditional computational methods. So, it seems like those selling the picks and shovels in the computing industry are well positioned to have their pockets lined, at least maybe more so than those providing the generative AI in a commercial sense. AI for all. With all the hype around AI, a lot of the focus is on the companies that own the models, like Microsoft and Alphabet, those that make semiconductors that power them, like NVIDIA and AMD, and those that operate the data centers that house the servers, again, Microsoft and Alphabet and Amazon. Yes, those companies are all beneficiaries, but companies in almost every industry can benefit from using AI. Also, if you'd like to read more about investors' opinions on these stocks, you can find narratives on stocks like NVIDIA, AMD, Amazon, Alphabet, and Visa near the top of the company report. This is currently in beta, but we'd love to hear your feedback. Here are some examples of how companies are using AI within their businesses. Customization is something a lot of companies can increase with the aid of AI. Businesses generally tend to divide customers into categories and then create standardized products for each category. Whether you're buying a Big Mac, a pair of jeans, or an insurance policy, you are probably buying something that roughly matches the needs of a group of similar customers. By standardizing products, businesses can achieve economies of scale and pitch their products at a price that maximizes profits. The exception is companies that serve more affluent customers, in which case bespoke products are justified by premium prices. With the aid of AI and automation, a company can customize products for each customer. This could result in 1, premium pricing for customers, customers paying more for a bespoke Big Mac with extra cheese, 2, more potential customers at the same price point, every customer gets a pair of jeans that fits them perfectly, or 3, a larger addressable market at a lower price point. Insurance premiums that match the risk profile of each customer rather than the entire segment can be cheaper. The technology to do this is already available to very large companies, but as AI models get cheaper and better, they will be available to smaller companies. AI is something to consider when you are looking at a company, not just AI companies. The really interesting applications will be those we haven't even imagined yet. New technologies spawn new industries and careers that couldn't previously be imagined, let alone exist. Benedict Evans wrote an interesting essay that puts AI into context in terms of the evolution of technology, business, jobs, and prosperity. It's worth a read. As he points out, quote, "New technology generally makes it cheaper and easier to do something, but that might mean you do the same with fewer people, or you might do much more with the same people. It also tends to mean that you change what you do. To begin with, we make the new tool fit the old way of working, but over time, we change how we work to fit the tool," end quote. Now let's move on to data, the digital oil. We mentioned previously that AI models learn and make predictions using data, so the quality and quantity of data a company has access to is key. In fact, data has been described as the oil of the digital economy. In other words, without useful data, artificial intelligence isn't useful either. Companies with access to rich data sources have a distinct advantage. Good examples include Alphabet, Meta, Uber, Airbnb, Visa, and Tesla, which collect massive amounts of unique data every single day. But it's increasingly important for every organization to have access to all the data generated within the business, and usually in real time too. Data needs to be gathered, organized, stored, and made available as and when needed. Most of the providers in the data software and big data spaces specialize in storage, analytics, monitoring, or security. It's a very competitive space, but it's also growing very quickly. The narrative for data companies isn't as simple as, quote, "more data, more money." The cost of data acquisition and analysis is becoming greater, and with more companies digitizing their workflow, there are more raw data points being collected. This data comes in an array of different formats, which makes storage, analysis, and integration an exponentially more difficult task for big data. Big tech's job is also getting more difficult. Data privacy legislation means that data isn't just getting harder to store and analyze, but harder to acquire too. Users of Apple's phone may have noticed that since 2021, their phone now asks them if they want to allow apps to track their activity across the other apps and websites. This is one of the many steps legislators and companies are making to help protect our data and privacy in a digital world that knows more about your behaviors than you do yourself. So who operates in this space? Besides the big tech companies, there are some other companies offering more specialized solutions. For example, data management and storage would be the likes of Snowflake, Dropbox, Box, and MongoDB. The likes of monitoring and security would be those like Datadog, Dynatrace, and Splunk. And for those in big data analytics, the likes of Palantir and Alteryx. Have a look at our cloud storage stocks collection for a few other ideas. Now let's move on to infrastructure and hardware. Software might be eating the world, but software still needs hardware and an infrastructure to operate on. The infrastructure that runs the cloud consists of data centers, servers, and networking equipment. Revenue growth rates for cloud providers may be slowing temporarily, but in dollar terms, it's still rising as more software moves to the cloud and the amount of data being collected increases exponentially. Amazon, Microsoft, and Alphabet dominate the cloud market, but IBM, Oracle, and Alibaba also have growing cloud businesses. NVIDIA and AMD provide most of the GPUs, known as graphical processing units, that are essential for machine learning models. But there are other chip makers that supply essential components to data centers. These include Intel, Qualcomm, Marvell Technology, and Micron Solutions. But what aspects of these companies are important for the average investor, and which ones are worth my time in researching? Well, in the beginning, we had Moore's Law to adhere to. Smaller transistors have been the horizon these companies are chasing, and nothing has changed. Smaller transistors means a number of things. Firstly, it means that you can fit more on a given chip. Secondly, a smaller transistor has less, quote-unquote, gate capacitance, which essentially means it can switch faster, which is the job of a transistor, and less energy is expended. So to put it simply, a company producing semiconductors will want to achieve the smallest transistor nodes, as that generally brings out faster and more efficient chips, precisely what the end customers like Apple, Samsung, NVIDIA, and AMD are looking for. Speaking of end customers, it's also a good idea to look at who these companies are selling to. Where the silicon will end up and how much demand these end consumers could realistically have are two key questions you have to ask yourself as an investor. So who operates in this space? In addition to the stocks mentioned above, companies like Arista Networks, A10 Networks, and Cisco provide the networking equipment that are essential to build out modern data centers. Data center REITs, known as real estate investment trusts, are real estate companies that own the physical land and buildings that house data centers, and in some cases, other telecom facilities like mobile towers. These REITs include Equinix, Digital Realty Trust, and American Tower Corporation. Computing at the edge. Not all data and software can be hosted half a world away from where it's needed. Autonomous vehicles, mobile phones, and other connected devices need to have processors running closer to where they are physically located. This is where edge computing comes in. Edge computing providers operate data centers across the globe and provide content delivery services to websites and applications close to where they are needed. So who operates in this space? Companies like Cloudflare, Edgio, Fastly, and Akamai Technologies have become essential cogs in the digital economy. Most of us use these services multiple times a day, whether we know it or not. The extent to which applications depend on these services and are built on top of them makes this a very interesting space. Edge computing services are essential and switching costs are high. What else is happening? First, a recap of the key data releases we mentioned last week. US JOLTS job openings fell slightly more than expected for June. The number of job openings fell to 9.58 million from 9.82 million in May, reflecting a gradual softening in the labor market. Two, at the same time, the ADP employment report showed private sector employment increasing in July. Employment increased by 324,000, well above the expected 195,000. However, wage growth fell slightly, which suggests inflationary forces are slowing without job losses. And then, a few news items that we thought were worth noting. 1. Fitch Ratings surprised the market by downgrading US debt. Specifically, the US long-term foreign currency debt was downgraded from AAA to AA+. The agency cited the fact that US debt as a percentage of GDP has risen from 60% to 113% since 2007. Fitch also expects fiscal deficits and debt to continue rising for the next 3 years. In theory, a lower rating could lead to higher borrowing costs. In reality, US bonds are the global benchmark, and there really isn't an alternative that can accommodate the capital that flows into US bonds. 2. More than half of the S&P 500 constituent companies have now reported second quarter earnings. Reports have, on the whole, been ahead of expectations, which of course are already quite low. Revenue and earnings growth remain at their weakest since Q2 of 2020, the start of the pandemic, but are at least not getting worse. Recent trends continued with telco and tech companies outperforming and healthcare and energy underperforming. 3. Uber Technologies reported its first ever quarterly profit of $394 million in net income, or 18 cents per share. Prior to these results, the company had accumulated losses of nearly $33 billion since 2014. Key events during next week. Inflation data is due in the US this week, with consumer price data, CPI, due Thursday, and producer price data due on Friday, all of which the Fed and investors will be watching closely to determine the likelihood and necessity of more rate increases. On Friday, the UK's GDP growth rate and manufacturing production data will be released, which will give us a glimpse into the UK's broader economic activity. Earnings season continues with a few large companies and lots of smaller technology companies reporting. These include Berkshire Hathaway, Eli Lilly, Alibaba, Disney, UPS, The Trade Desk, Palantir, Datadog, Restaurant Brands, Rivian, Roblox, Skyworks, Wynn Resorts, Plug Power, and Duolingo. That's all for this week's Market Insights. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, invest well. Simply Wall Street analyst Richard Bowman has a position in Intel. In Simply Wall Street has no position in any of the companies mentioned. This article is general in nature. We provide analysis based on historical data and analyst forecasts only, using an unbiased methodology, and our articles are not intended to be financial advice. It does not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any stock and does not take into account your objectives or your financial situation. We aim to bring you long-term focused analysis driven by fundamental data. Note that our analysis may not factor in the latest price-sensitive company announcements or qualitative material.